Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Father. You're worthy of our praises, Lord. We love you because you are the greatest God of the whole universe. You're the great I am. And I praise you, Father. Glory be to God. And I praise you, Lord, that tonight's going to be the night. We thank you, Lord, for guiding us and delivering us from all the distractions that try to creep in on us. Thank you, Lord, for bringing out revelations tonight. Because, God, you can do anything. You're the great I am, and the great I am is the one we look to because he provides everything that we need. I'm just so thankful, Lord, that I'm whole here, and everybody here is whole. And I praise you, Father. And I ask and I praise, Lord, that tonight you would clear the room of any kind of distractions. That when we listen, when we pray, Lord, we know beyond a shadow of a doubt through the faith that you've given us that those prayers are going to be answered. And Father, we just ask and we pray tonight that revelations of prayer, how and what, when, and all of that stuff comes out tonight. We're going to keep on talking about prayer. And I just, as long as we can, Lord, as long as we can, you keep revealing things to us, Lord, that we need to do or that we've done right or how to do this or what to do that. You know, Lord, just help us with all of these things. And I ask and I pray, Father, that everybody here tonight would be blessed. And right now, I'll take the sword of the Spirit and I'll whack every distracting demon, everyone that tries to cut up somebody's communication to cut it off in Jesus' name. I bind up your actions against this room and command you to go in Jesus' name. Cast you out in the name of Jesus. And we just praise you, Father, that all the testimonies, all the prayers for healing are answered beforehand because we have great bold faith that you've given us. And we're all in one accord. When we're in one accord, the room shakes. And I thank you for it, Father. I thank you, Lord, for your Spirit that fills us, Lord. I'm asking you right now, just fill each and every one of us up with your Spirit, Lord, because we need it. We always need it. We need a complete infilling every day to walk by the Spirit and to talk by the Spirit. And I thank you, Lord, that it is done for tonight. But tonight is going to be an awesome time with you, Lord. And I thank you for my brothers and sisters, Lord, that you have placed in them the love that Jesus has for each and every one of us, Lord. Take out any kind of darkness in our hearts. We command him to go in Jesus' name, that we have a purified body, sanctified body in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for the time for the man child. We ask and we pray that the man child anointing come quickly. That revival would start throughout the land, Lord. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for filling this room up with your Spirit. In the name of Jesus, amen and amen. All right. Any prayer requests? Hey, Rion and Claire, good to see y'all. Y'all still vacation?
Oh, hello, everybody. Great. Yeah, we're going home tomorrow.
Oh, man. Oh, that's great. That's great. All right, Nick, go ahead.
Yeah, I get my stitches out on Monday, and then I go back to work on Tuesday, the next day. So I'm happy about that. So
awesome. Awesome. Thank you, Lord. Amen. All right, Missy.
When I was out on my walk today, there's a neighbor over in another part of the neighborhood that I talk to now and then. His name is Mark, and I've mentioned him before. and he's not saved, and I had given him a sovereign God, and I've noticed that lots of times on Thursdays, he'll be out mowing his lawn or doing yard work or something. So he was out blowing leaves, and he saw me come and he waved, and I knew I was going to get to talk to him, you know. And so he says to me, he takes his ear, his headphone thingies, whatever, protects his ears. He says, isn't it crazy? Isn't this world crazy? Aren't things crazy going on? I'm like, yeah. And I just laid it out for him, you know. I said, you know, it's God's in control, and he's doing this to get his people's attention. He's waiting for them to cry out in repentance to him. And, you know, I just kind of preached the gospel to him again. And we had a good talk. And I mentioned to him about, you know, sovereign God, about reading that. And he said he did start to read it. I don't have how far he got. He didn't say or whatever. And he said Bible's always been hard for him to read. And he says, I know he really, you know, really explains things and all, but sometimes I just don't get it. I said, that's all right, you know. And he was saying about his wife, you know, she gets about watching the news, you know, she gets mad and she yells at the TV. And I said, that sounds familiar. I told her that my husband did that. Anyway, and so what came to me is I said to him, I said, why don't you, I said, I'm going to make a suggestion. Why don't you ask your wife to sit down and read that together? I said, it'll be much easier to get through it. You know, you both, you know, reading and taking turns and talking about it and da, da, da. And he says, well, I don't know. I said, well, how about if we pray about that? You know, I don't know if she'll want to do that. And so I prayed that that she would want to do that. So I want y'all to agree with me. And if I remember correctly, her name is Sharon. So, Father, I ask you to put a boldness in Mark to ask her to do that. And Lord, work in her heart to want to sit down and read it with Mark. And Lord, I just ask you to help them to understand it, Lord, and that you use it to draw them to you, and that they both repent and believe in you, Lord, and run after you with all their hearts, Lord, and you grow them up quickly, Lord. I believe, Lord, that they're two of your chosen ones. And Mark, you know, I know, Lord, is I know you're drawing him, Lord. He's coming to the conclusion that the only thing that can change things is you. He said, the older he gets, the more he understands that. And so, Lord, just draw him, Lord, draw him, give him a spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge of you, and that the eyes of their heart would be enlightened to know what the hope of their calling is, Lord. Christ in them, the hope of glory, Lord. I told him, Lord, that, you know, you were the firstborn, and you want many sons, and to be just like you. And Lord, you know what all I told him. I just ask you to just sprout those seeds, Lord, and bring them a great salvation, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Is that it, Missy?
Yep.
Go ahead, Rhea.
I have a prayer request, but before I ask for prayer, I'm sorry, I missed you guys on Tuesday night, and we listened to the Wednesday. Oh, we listened to it Wednesday night our time, and we were so encouraged. Firstly, by Andrew, like just to hear your testimony of Benjamin and his baptism. We were celebrating, man. That was awesome. We were really, really, really happy about that. So we praise the Lord for that. And we had a We had a wonderful time here with Samuel and Diana. Yeah, they spent a couple of days here with us. It was just so, you know what, I thought about it. It's just from when they arrived to when they left, morning till night, we were just talking about the Lord over and over, and the Bible came out every now and again, and, you know, like reading it. And we just thought, how cool is that? You know, we don't get to do that with anybody ever in person. So that was really, really good. So we blessed them and we thank the Lord for that time together.
Well, how far, just by right quick, how far does Samuel Tiana live from y'all?
From this house or from our real life?
No, from your real house.
It's a flight away or a boat trip.
Yeah, so it's probably, really? Yeah, it's about a 2.5 hour. So we have to drive. We're talking hours again, right? Not kilometers and miles. So we have to drive 3 hours to the airport, and then it's a 2.5 hour flight to Brisbane. And then from Brisbane, it's probably 4 hours maybe to you guys, Samuel and Tiana, maybe 4-3 hours drive again. So it's pretty far.
Yeah, it pretty is. Far away.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Y'all need to move closer. All of you.
We'll move here. It's
yeah, there you
go. They can meet us here on the Sunshine Coast.
Yes. There you go.
We'll meet each other halfway.
Amen. I made the kids love that.
Yeah, they would. They would. But we were talking to them yesterday. We went out for dinner, and we just said, if we drive a half an hour in Tasmania, there's no cities or anything. It's just nature, right? So it's just small little roads, nature all around you. We drive a half an hour and we can't help talking about God because we see him everywhere. We see him in nature. We see him. So we're listening to praise music, and we drive here on the Sunshine Coast, and obviously we're not used to it, and the kids not used to the shops and fancy cars and all of it. So we drive a half an hour and we're like, oh, look, there's a big golf store, and there's a big fishing store, and there's a clothes shop, and there's fancy cars here left and right. Half an hour would go by, we wouldn't even think of God, right? We wouldn't even say, well, praise the Lord for a fancy building, you know? It's, we're just talking about them, saying that's what we'd be careful of if you're living in the populated areas, is how many distractions there are. It was just interesting, right? Those discussions. So yes, we like coming here for holiday, but it's still good to be separate in that sense, to be out of the cities where we are. And then the kids really, they agreed with that. The other thing I wanted to say is it was also very refreshing to hear Michael, Yor, and Pat, and I think Missy, you chimed in as well about the babies and the sleep, what we would call sleep training, basically, or letting them cry. There's not a lot of people who would say that, but it's very good to hear that wisdom, because I remember when we were doing that with our children, we were in the minority and we were persecuted by our families quite harshly for abusing our children like that, to just let them cry and fall asleep.
I actually had family members swear at me,
curse
me to my face for doing that.
And it does absolutely no harm to babies at all. I think what we realize and what we talked, I think we spoke to Samuel and Diana a little bit about that as well, is that babies, even though they are very cute and they are perfectly made, but they're born with a sinful nature. It is unfortunate. They're not perfect until they sin. They're born, they can manipulate from day one. They can be selfish from day one. They can have a sinful natures like that. I mean, obviously we have grace and mercy for them, obviously, but if you have that mindset, then you can think of it differently. You can think of it saying, well, we're ambassadors of God here, and we have to train them from day one, and we have to let them know that they need Jesus from day one, not only once they sin. So that was so encouraging to hear.
Okay.
These nappies need it if they cry more. I have a prayer request, and I'll get off my soapbox here. I have this very annoying infection on my toe that has just been here the last couple of days, and we've rebuked it. We ask you to just kind of agree with us that it's not hindering my physical walk. It's just ugly and it is painful, and it just needs to go. So just being stubborn, if you would just agree with that. I think my feet not used to seeing sunshine and dirt. I was always covered up and closed.
Well, we do. We break the power of this spirit of infirmity that's on Rion's feet. We command you to go right now in Jesus' name. You don't belong there. You can't stay there. You don't even have a right to be there. So you go right now in the name of Jesus and take all the symptoms with you in Jesus' name. Amen. It's done. Everybody believe? Glory to God, is gone. Thank you, Jesus.
Yep, I agree. Thank you.
Amen. All right. Anyone else? Yeah, Dave, go ahead.
I'll confess to a distraction I've had the last few days. Actually, a couple of weeks, I've been playing with Linux. So it's been kind of pulling me away. So I've got this Linux crave once in a while I got to fulfill, and I just got it. You know, I just been playing with it. So sorry, Father, for taking me away, but I always get this feeling like I got to get something going with Linux in case they take away Windows. So. So anyways, that's been my confession.
Amen. But I think they're going to come up with a totally different operating system that's going to take Microsoft and Apple out of the loop. So we'll see what happens. Yeah, Lord, we thank you for taking us away from all distractions in Jesus' name. Right now we need to be focused. Thank you, Lord. Me too. All right, Carol, go ahead.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, wonderful. I'm going to start with a praise report. So the Quebec government has backed down completely from firing nurses, but even more so is they're not mandating them to have the passport anymore. So praise one God. More win for Quebec. Yes. Yes. So that is so awesome. This one I hesitate, but because I don't know how to ask for prayer, but I probably should. I've been in a spiritual battle. I'm sure it's the enemy, but I also know that God is working me through the battle. Okay. But I spent the night up. My dog was spiritually, I think he's being attacked right now. So I had to spend the night up with him. He was having difficulty breathing. I just praise the Lord. And what I was getting is that Isaiah 41:10 says not to look to anybody else but the Lord. And so I stayed in praise and prayer throughout this incredible battle last night, but I didn't get much sleep. So today I met with my boss and he told me that they have extended my probation. So I'm not going to be fired. I'm going to go through the next training. So that's good. And so, and spiritually, my family is being severely attacked because they're not saved. So there's some stuff going on there. However, I'm just going to say, because I have two sisters that are severe in gambling, and I've been praying for them regardless. And I have stayed, with grace and in the face of them spewing venom towards me. Okay. So I am just saying, I'm super thankful. However, I do sense I'm under attack to fall into fear, but I'm like, nope, I'm not going to, but I do need prayer to continue to be strong, courageous, and to walk as an overcomer. So I'm just super grateful. I'm super tired, so I might log off earlier tonight, but I'm here and God is good. And I thank you guys.
Amen. Lord, we just lift up Carol to you. Lord, we just we praise you, Lord, that right now that you could infuse her with supernatural energy and strength. And I thank you for it, Father. And Lord, when she does lay her head down tonight on the pillow, that it is a deep, restful, and wonderful sleep, and that she will wake up completely refreshed in the morning, ready to go. And I praise you for it, Father. And while she's sleeping, Lord, give her a good dream. And we thank you for that, Lord. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord, that you've already healed that dog. That dog is completely delivered and healed of whatever was wrong with it. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Father. We believe it. Everybody believe it? Glory to God. Thank you, Father. Carol is healed, delivered, and set free of any kind of tiredness. Amen. All right, Dave.
I'm mute. Yeah, thank you, Father. I just like to pray along with you on that, Father, for bringing our sister Carol here and giving her so much deliverance, the time that she's been here in such a short time. Lord, thank you for hearing our prayers. We all pray together for her. We all pray for each other. But Lord, you've blessed her. She's kept our employment. She's got rid of this anxiety, and we still continue to pray against all these demons that are coming against her, Father. We know it's a pretty tough environment up there. It can be in Canada, pretty liberal. And it sounds like, Lord, you're finding favor on your people up there. And thank you, Father, for doing that, for beating down the enemy like we like to beat him down. And let us be victorious and let our light shine. And let us give you glory, Father. And thank you for doing that through Carol and through Andrew. Thank you, Father, for being such a light for them and being backing them up. And you're such a great God, Father. In the name of Jesus, we praise you for all you're doing for us and for them. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Glory to God. All right. Anyone else? Did somebody put in there to pray for the rest of the world? Most of the rest of the world is off the mandates, off the COVID vaccines. Matter of fact, they're going to, well, a lot of them, all except for the U.S. and Australia and Tasmania and New Zealand. Lord, we thank you for just removing it from all of them in Jesus' name. I know that you're doing this for a reason, but we ask for some slack for your children, Lord, and we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Day.
Yeah, I do get a few passages here the last couple of weeks for sure about Pharaoh's heart being hardened. This is the Lord looking, I think, pretty much to punish and bring these people to their end too. I think we're going against a hard heart. The Lord is allowing this because these people have been so corrupt and so bad for so long that the Lord needs to make an example of them or let them see that he's God. So, Father, if this is what you're doing, we praise your name, we give you the glory, and we thank you for all that you're going to do, just like you did in Egypt and with Moses, you're doing here. And so whatever it is that comes to mind that you want us to pray about this, and as far as these people in power and this evil one world government, the deep state, however you want us to expose them and bring them to, if possible, repentance, but at the same time, put them in the spotlight to make them realize that they're nothing but men and you're God. Whatever it is you want us to pray about this, bring it to our hearts, Father, bring it to our minds, and we'll do it. We'll say the word. But thank you, Lord, for watching over us, protecting us during this time, and not allowing this thing to go beyond what it has. And so we get to see your victory through this, Father, in the name of Jesus.
Amen. Amen. All right, anyone else? All right. Praying. Yeah, Pat.
Sorry, I was just listening to everybody, but I just wanted to praise the Lord for healing me. I think last, was it last? It was a meeting before this. I asked for prayer because of that, because I started to feel it coming in on me. And I woke up the next day and it was completely gone. So praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Thank you, Father, for answering the prayer. Amen. Okay. Let's get back. I feel like there's some more stuff we could talk about on prayer and praying. How and when. What's the first thing that you have to do when you're praying? We talked a little bit about it last week. First thing is you got to believe, don't you? You have to believe that when you're praying that you're going to get your prayers answered. That's faith. That's what God gives us, is faith. When you open your mouth to pray, be assured that your prayers are going to be answered, and they'll be answered. That's faith. Just know that you know that it's going to happen. He says in Hebrews 11:6, but without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him, who diligently seek him, who diligently seek him. You know what that means? Okay. In other words, you have to believe that God is a sovereign God. And you have to believe that God is going to answer you when you pray. But if he doesn't get it in the time frame that you have allowed, do you just stop, forget about it? Or do you do like Daniel and keep on praying? How long did he pray? He prayed 21 days, didn't he? He wasn't giving up. Look at Noah, for goodness sake. Oh, for goodness sake. He had prayed going on for 100 years there. There's a lot of other ones in there that, if you know, I remember, who was it? Well, it'll come back to me here in a minute, and I'll relate that story. Anyway, let's open it up now. Has anybody got any comments on just that little bit we're talking about now? And that's believing when you go to the Lord that you are going to know that you're going to get your prayers answered. Go ahead, Nick.
I just thought of one that you were talking about. I was thinking of like Jonah when he prayed to God to let him out of the fish.
Yeah.
He prayed for 7 days and 7 nights.
Yeah, he finally got regurgitated up on dry land. That was a good thing.
Yeah.
With all the slop that went with it.
Yeah.
Amen. All right, anyone else? You had a question. What is it? Let me see what you're saying, Rick, Claire. Oh. Well, anything that's against God, I'll start with that one. If God has told us, like the pandemic, he's told us not to pray against the pandemic, but to pray for God's chosen.
Sorry, pray Michael, I don't think everybody saw that question that we sent to you directly, but the question is, what are we not allowed to pray?
Yeah, okay.
Is there something that we are not allowed to pray, or a way that we're not allowed to pray, you know?
Yeah, that's one. If the Lord's already told you not to do something, don't do it. That's one good thing right there. And another one is, don't mealy mouth God. And when I say mealy mouth, I said, Lord, if it be your will, I ask that you heal this poor soul here. Put your finger down from heaven, Lord, if it's your will, and heal this poor unguided misfit of a person. No, we don't do that. Yeah, Dave.
Yeah, I can think of a couple times for sure in the Bible where God said not to pray about it, not to ask for favor. He told Samuel not to ask favor for Saul when he decided and rejected Saul and chose David. Because Samuel was, he was pretty much heartstrucken about that. He had his heart to see things would work out for Saul, and it didn't. And I remember, David was praying for his son with Bathsheba, the one that died, the baby, even though the Lord said he was going to take him, he still sat in prayer all night and in sackcloth until the baby died. And then after the baby died, he washed himself off and praised the Lord, went and praised the Lord for that and gave him glory. And Moses, what was it? When Moses actually, when he made the mistake and struck the rock twice, and the Lord said, basically pulled him aside and said, oh no, you shouldn't have struck the rock twice. And for that reason, you're not going to be entering into the promised land. And Moses was pleading with him that he could at least go in and see it. And the Lord said, enough, I'm not going to hear any more about this prayer. So there's times where the Lord says enough. He's not going to hear a prayer for something. He'd made up his mind. So at that point, even though David still sought him about it, the Lord had made his decision, So just wanted to mention those times about when we're not going to pray or when he's not going to answer our prayers, when he's made up his mind on something for people and sick of circumstances. But at the same time, you have Abraham interceding for Lot in Sodom, trying to intercede for the people at Sodom and trying to save all those people. And he said, he gets down to 10 people, you wouldn't destroy a righteous people that are righteous, that there's 10 people in a city, right? You wouldn't go destroy a whole city. And that's when the Lord said, no, I wouldn't do it for 10, but then he walked away from them. He wasn't going to let them keep on negotiating either. So.
Well, you remember Daniel prayed 3 weeks to understand that dream. Three. What if he'd stopped at the 14th day? Would he have gotten it? No. Then what about Elijah when he prayed for rain after, he prayed for rain for how long was it? 7 times. He prayed 7 times. What if he'd stopped at 6? Would he have gotten the rain? I don't think so.
Jesus at the Mount of Olives praying that the Father would, he would take this cup away from him, but not my will, but your will be done. And even Jesus, was looking at the cross thinking, wow, this is going to be something that's going to be pretty tough, And had there been another way, he would have took it,
Amen. And he said he prayed and sweat blood when he was praying. How many of you sweat blood while you're praying? I haven't even broke a good sweat, unless it was hot outside. Yep. There's a lot of instances in there where people prayed more than once. And I understand that there's a prayer of importunity, there's a prayer of faith, and then there's a prayer of agreement. We always like to get our prayers answered right on, right when we pray. But when they don't get answered when we think they ought to, should we just quit, wait? Say, well, I don't guess it's God's will to do that, or what? What should we do? Yeah, Miss. Right, hang on, Carol. I'll get right with you.
Well, you know, when we pray, we believe that we've received. If we believe, we've received. And then after that, we just thank and praise the Lord for it. You don't keep asking.
You're right. But I still pray, though, isn't it?
Right. It's still, you know, praying is just talking to the Lord, you know, praising him, worshiping him, you know, thanking him, requesting, making petition. But, you know, if you're, you know, if you're something in your heart to pray and you're not sure if it is the Lord's will, you know, because I know sometimes I come across that because, you know, I want it. Sometimes I'll ask the Lord, you know, I'll ask for a word or I'll cast lots, you know, Lord, is it your will for me to pray this way? Because it's not always a definitive thing, you know? And he doesn't always, I don't think always give me answers that way. If it is his will, you know, because it's like, I don't know about you all, but sometimes I feel like I go through a mode of asking for something, you know, and really believing it, and then it doesn't happen. And I'm like, it's not God's fault. It's my fault in some shape or form. You know, it's either because I didn't have faith or I was asking something that really was not according to his will. So sometimes I think it's a battle of finding out, you know, Lord, is this your will that I pray this way?
you're talking about circumstances, aren't you?
Yeah, sometimes. Yeah, usually it's circumstances, you know, because the Lord, his ways aren't our ways, you know, his ways of doing things, you know. And so, you know, I don't want to be disappointed, or I don't want to, you know, speak something that I believe the Lord's going to do, and then it doesn't happen. And then I don't want it to give the Lord a bad name, or for people to look at me like I'm crazy because I said I'm believing for this, because I don't want them to think that, that they don't want to hear anything that I have to say about the Lord. If I step out in faith and say something, you know, believing the Lord for something, and then it doesn't happen. So it's like, I want to make sure that it is his will, first of all, that I pray for something in particular. But anyway, I know I'm being kind of vague, but there have been times, you know, where that's happened. And
I'll tell you what David and I have done in the past as far as the ministry goes. We asked the Lord, is this something we can pray about? Is this something that we can pray for or against, whatever the situation is? And we'll cast lots or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
And if we get a yes, we go ahead. If we get a no, we don't. If we go to I don't know, we just wait.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then it's just a matter of really seeking the Lord, you know, just continue to pray about it. Lord, show me what it is.
Yep.
You know, if this is something I can pray about or I can't pray about.
Yeah. Okay. All right, Carol, go ahead.
I'm just using the example of, I guess, what happened in the past few days for me. And I think what was coming to me, especially in the night when I was being pressed on every side, was to be very focused on the Lord and to pray without ceasing. And I felt like when the fear was trying to overtake, I really felt accompanied by the Lord. I felt that he was saying, just keep singing songs. And that really teleported me, brought me to another level, because sometimes you the fear tries to take over in a pressing matter like that. And so praying without ceasing, but praising him and claiming what his promises are. And so I grabbed a hold of those three ingredients, three swords, I guess, and wielded that. And I really believe that the Holy Spirit is the one that accompanied me through this. And for the second point that we were talking about, like, for instance, my sister right now, who went through a serious episode, she's a gambler. And well, what comes out of her mouth is really not okay, right? And she shot some stuff at me, but God gave me so much grace. And what I got in my heart about when someone shoots at you that hard, maybe the Pharaoh's heart that Dave was talking about before, but even more so, I felt the venom. But I said, Lord, what is your heart? And what came to me was that he doesn't want that not one of his children would perish. And so he gave me a heart to pray for the lost, basically. And that's quite, it's not an easy thing to do, but I'm super thankful. So that's how he hit my heart. He said, I don't want any of my children to be lost. So that's how I prayed. I prayed how he saved me, how he reached me. And I used that as my paving my way to pray for another person that was so horrifically lost right now in sin, basically. So yeah, believing, praying without ceasing, reading our Bible, knowing what the truth says, and claiming that life through the battle. So that's my piece. Bless you.
Amen. That's true. Thank you, Lord. Perseverance. Go ahead, Malcolm.
Now that I I've been so involved in listening that I forgot what I was going to say. I'm sure it was important. It had something to do with what I think Missy was saying. Well, I can't remember specifically what it was. Am I having a Biden moment, you guys?
Only if you want to.
No, I don't want to. Well, I know, as far as praying or being strong in front of others, something I've had to be careful with in regard to my dad when I'm talking to my brother and sister, and that is I have to really watch what I say. My dad's really important to me, and it's easy to get caught up in the moment and speak against the prayers or the stance you're holding with God regarding people that you're praying for. So I've noticed, last night after talking to my brother, I had to really analyze my heart and analyze what I had said, because I don't want to be speaking against, I don't want to be, you know how this is, there's a psalm, and we've talked about it before, but the psalm says, you are gods, and yet ye shall die like men. And I don't want to be in that predicament. Jesus quoted that psalm when he was talking to the scribes and Pharisees. But we don't want to die like men. If God says that we're gods, then we want to be there and live there and not be living in the flesh and not to die like men. So that's it. Now, how do I mute myself? Oh, there.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. A good way to get your prayers answered is to walk in that perfection that, He wants us to walk in. Confess your sins before you pray. You know? Yeah, we probably need to. But Lord, wants us to be humble. We don't need to go before him in the throne, being proud and all that kind of stuff, you know. Just be humble before him. Pray those things. I write them all down, you know. That's what I try to do, is write down what I'm going to pray when I go into the prayer closet or the prayer woods or whatever it is. I've got a place out in the woods that I go to. That got a big log right outside. Some of you know we got a big log right outside the door here that we could crawl up in, like old Gibbons, whatever his name was. I have a place out in the woods there. I made a little area to go out there and pray in when I want to be by myself and I want to scream and holler, you know, whatever. So that we all need to have a place that we could go and talk to the Lord. And if you need to praise God loud, I love to do that. That's why I did. I just love to do it. That's why I was done in those old charismatic churches. All right. Anyone else on prayer? Yes, Andrew.
Someone, just from what we were being studying so far, they gave me a pretty good idea on how I should maybe start my prayers at my prayer time, and that's to praise God. And I took some of my written down music, and you know, and of course the one I have right on the top here is "What a Friend We Have in Jesus," and it's a song about prayer, and I did that one yesterday, and of course, today's prayer time, I did the next song, which was "Be Thou My Vision," and you know, I like that one. That one always gets me happy, and you know, and I also have some notes when I go to pray, and this came, I guess it was an email, and I did copy it when I was still at work, and it's "Scriptures to Warfare for Children." And so I started, it was yesterday, praying these all. You know, there's, I don't know who did this. May have been Dave. This might be Dave Nelson stuff. I'm not sure. Isaiah 54:13. And I just started praying these one by one. And by the time I, like for my children, I have my son, my daughter, my son-in-law. So I'm just praying them for them all, you know. And then suddenly, I suddenly came to the third verse, and then I went, wait a minute, this is for children, and we're all in that category. And so I decided to say, well, these are for me too, and everybody else. So, and then I came to this particular verse here. It was in Luke 9:48, and he said to them, "Whosoever shall receive this child in my name receiveth me, and whosoever shall receive me receiveth him that sent me. For he that is least among you all, the same shall be great." And great. You know, and sometimes they refer to those baby Christians of not knowing anything, but don't make sure they're not in earshot when you say that. You shouldn't even say that. That's not a sweet water. It's a bitter water, and they're supposed to be great. So you give Herb the greatness there too. So. And you know, it says also in Hebrews 8:8, from the least of these to the greatest of these. So you won't have to teach anyone because they'll all know him. So praying all these prayers, you know, I put a little asterisk around the ones that I really like. You know, there's other things I have in my prayer thing, and a while ago, we did a study on praying and fasting, and so I got my Duotang, and you know, you open that up, and there was a verse or two that stood out to me, and you know, to exalt the Lord, and sort of backed up what delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desire of thine heart. And that's Psalm 37 and 4. And so I think that sort of backed up what I learned. I just did collate it the first time I learned it. That was years ago, that study. And so it's always good to praise the Lord, because you're in this form of grace, and you go before him for more grace. So, and it's because of his fullness, we all receive the grace upon grace. So, yeah. Well, that's it, you know. Just spending some time praying, you know. I've got more time now, so I don't work anymore, so I can spend a bit of time praying. I'm just trying to learn to pray really well, how to be that prayer warrior you want to be, and how to do it right, you know, how to pray in tongues, how to be there, just to pray a list before you pray, put things into my head to pray for while I pray, you know, convert my tongue into something that would come out in regular language, and put it in my mind for whoever, friends, people in your family, you know. And it's what you do. You go to him humbly, of course, and you know, you do confess your sins. It's kind of like a workout to pray. You're in fellowship with the Almighty God and the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, you take the Holy Spirit along with you. You're being led. And that's the main thing. You know, it's always, Amos 3:3 comes to mind. You know, can two walk together unless we agree? So that's an agreement of prayer. And that's who you walk with. You walk in the light. Jesus even cleans your feet. He washed his disciples' feet. He's going to make you have a clean walk. So, praise God.
Amen. Thank you, Andrew. All right, anyone else? Let me read you a little something Charles Spurgeon said. Y'all know who Charles Spurgeon was, I'm sure. Charles Spurgeon. Shake your head, yeah, if you know who I'm talking about. Okay, thank you. He said, we must remember that the goal of prayer is the ear of God. Unless that is gained, the prayer has utterly failed. The uttering of it may have kindled devotional feelings in our minds. The bearing of it may have comforted and strengthened the hearts of those with whom we have prayed. But if the prayer has not gained the heart of God, it has failed in its essential purpose. A mere formalist can always pray so as to please himself. What has he to do but to open his book and read the prescribed words, or bow his knee and repeat such phrases as suggest themselves to his memory or his fancy. Like the Tartarian praying machine, give but the wind and the wheel and the business is fully arranged. So much knee bending and talking and the prayer is done. The formless prayers are always good, or rather always bad, alike. But the living child of God never offers a prayer which pleases himself. His standard is above his attainments. He wonders that God listens to him. And though he knows he will be heard for Christ's sake, yet he accounts it a wonderful instance of condescending mercy that such poor prayers as his should ever reach the ears of the Lord God the Sabbath. I have that a lot myself, you know. Why would God listen to me? But he does, because we have faith. And when we pray from the heart, that's what he likes. It gets his ear. Y'all falling asleep? Okay, just wondering. Let me tell you a little story. Can I tell you a little story about praying? I heard this today. The lady was a janitor at a hospital. A janitor. And she was in her church. And the evangelist was up there preaching. And he just stopped and he said, "This lady right here, if you get up and praise the Lord in an extreme way, he'll answer your prayers." Now, you know, I don't know that, but here's the story. Well, she got up and she just was in a hit, not any inhibitions whatsoever. I mean, she was praising God. She was dancing around and she was praising God because she loved the Lord. And she wanted God to be happy with her. And that's the way she went. So she went to work the next day thinking about what that evangelist had told her. And there was, lo and behold, on the bulletin board, there was a job opening. And the job opening was for hospital administrator. Y'all hear what I'm saying? I'm talking about the lowest person on the totem pole, the janitor. And she looks at that and she said, "Well, this is the job the Lord has for me. So bless God, I'm going to apply for it." So she applied for it and she turned it in. And the lady looked at her. She knew who she was. Looked at her, and she looked at the thing, and she just rolled her eyes. And, of course, the lady saw that. She said, "I don't care. Bless God, I know what God told me." And the lady submitted it. And the board met. Well, first, the head guy in charge at that time took a look at the application, and he knew who the lady was. He knew if she was the janitor, and he just put it in the pile. So the board met the next week, just a few weeks later. The board met, and they went through all the applications for the other jobs in the hospital. And they finally got down to the head administrator and they said, "What, was there no applications for the head administrator?" And they said, "No, there was," the head guy then said, "No, well, we had one, but it was the janitor that put it in." They said, "Well, we want to see it." And so 6 weeks later, she got the call. She was the head administrator, from janitor to head administrator. Guess what? Within 2 years, I believe it was 2 years, she was head administrator over two other hospitals as well. God knows something, don't he? God knows something. So you don't have to have a college education to be a hospital administrator. You just got to have a lot of common sense. You just got to know God. That's all you got to do. You just got to know God. And he pray, she'll pray and ask God, you know, what do I got to do in this situation, Lord? And he'd tell her, you know. That's a wonderful story of God's grace and his mercy upon us, you know. Go ahead, Ozzy. Uh-oh, you froze up right midair.
Y'all hear me?
Yeah, we can.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, we can see. We can hear you. Now you just left. There you go. Go ahead. We can hear you, Isaac. Well, I thought we could. We can't hear you now, brother.
Okay. It was have better.
Yeah, you're in and out. We can't understand you. I tell you what, maybe if you stopped your video and tried it. Well, we'll have to catch you some other time. You're doing good now. The video looks good. It's just the audio. So maybe if you shut your video.
Can you hear me now?
Yes. Don't move. Just talk.
Yeah, that's a good idea. The video off. Okay. Yeah. No, I was going to say something, Michael. That what you just said really means a lot to me in our situation. And I won't go into, and I certainly don't mean this any type of way. I was actually a janitor. I started off as a janitor. I don't have, you know, I didn't go to be an engineer. I didn't go to school for that.
We lost you, brother. We command that devil off of his internet connection right now in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for giving him a wide broadband bandwidth in the name of Jesus so he can continue to be a part of this fellowship in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. We just praise you, Father. We just praise you, Lord, that Isaac and Mariana is coming on in a mighty way. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Okay, I'll say this, and this is a this time it's going to work. So
yep.
Thank you for the prayer. What you said, Michael, really means a lot to me because, you know, and I say this not to boast myself, because I really don't have any real college background like other guys I work with. I actually started off as a janitor, as I was going to say. And that's how I got in maintenance. So it was, you know, just there's something about being at the lowest. And being one where, you know, you're cleaning up the messes, because that's what I used to do. I used to go in a steel mill and clean up all the bathrooms and mop them and clean the toilets. And I, you know, that was a rough job. Most guys need to change their diet. But I'll say this, I just thank God that he really, it's just awesome. That's an awesome testimony. And it really, being the bottom, the lowest is not a bad place to be at all.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. I know a guy, Isaac, never went to a day of college in his life. Probably the best controlled electrician I ever knew. He taught me everything I knew, and I've been to college for it. PLC program.
Yeah, that's amazing. It really is.
He's just a humble guy, you know. He's real knowledgeable. All right. Anyone else? God is so good. Glory to God, he is so good. Lord does, Greg. Amen. For his people. Gives them vacations too, doesn't he, Rihanna Claire? Amen.
We were just saying, as much as the Lord brings promotion, he brings demotion. If you if you are born with a silver spoon in your mouth, for example, or you, you know, you just, I don't know, the Lord just chose to give you a softer start in life, but he wants you, then he will humble you in a beautifully magnificent way so that you can enter the kingdom just as everyone else does. So it's not everyone has this like uphill climb. Some people actually have to just slide down and start back over.
Amen. They do. They do. All right. Anyone else? On prayer. Anybody got a question about prayer or an answer? Go ahead, Claire. No? Okay. Chickened out. No, I'm just kidding. I'm sorry. I didn't mean that. Yeah. All right. Anybody got a question on prayer that we need to talk about? Does everybody know everything there is to know about everything there is to know about prayer? Okay. There is a prayer in the Word of God in the New Covenant that's considered by some the best prayer in the Bible. Can anyone name that one? And I have to tell you that I have a disadvantage because I already know what it is. Yeah, Julie. And it's not Psalm 23.
Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray.
That's a good one.
That's the best one.
Okay. There's another one that's considered that as well. And it takes up a whole chapter. Let me put it that way. Uh-huh. Now I went one hand down. Go ahead, Missy.
Well, I was thinking of Ephesians 1 or Ephesians 3.
Well, those are two good ones, but that's not the one that I'm thinking about.
You said a whole chapter.
Yeah. Well, that's a good one too, Greg. Go ahead, Pat.
Are you talking about John 17?
Exactly. Exactly. We'll talk about it. What is it?
Well, actually, I'll let someone else talk about it. I was thinking of what Nick said about Jonah's prayer, and I read through that, and it's pretty, you know, it's pretty amazing. But anyway, I'll let somebody else talk about 17.
Okay. All right, Malcolm, go ahead.
Unfortunately, my favorite prayer in the Bible, it's not than John 17, certainly, but it's the last words of David. And it's a pretty heavy prayer. It entails a lot. It's very short.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But there's been a piece of music done to that, which is absolutely awesome. We did that. It's a choral piece that we did in Singapore. But it's one of the most moving pieces of music I've heard.
Awesome. Somebody else had their hand up. Who was it? Well, it was Leon and Claire.
It was me, but it wasn't my John 17, so I can ask another question once we're done with that, if you like.
Okay. I want to read John 17. If I can, do y'all mind if I read it? Won't make any difference. I'm gonna read it anyway. All right.
Go for it. I'm all for it.
All right. John 17. verse 1. These things spake Jesus, and lifting up his eyes to heaven, he said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that the Son may glorify thee. Even as thou gavest him authority over all flesh, that to all whom thou hast given him, he should give eternal life. And this is life eternal, that they should know thee, the only true God, and him whom thou didst send, even Jesus Christ. I glorified thee on the earth, having accomplished the work which thou hast given me to do. And now, Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I manifested thy name unto the men whom thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them to me, and they have kept thy word. Now they know that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are from thee. For the words which thou gavest me I have given unto them, and they received them, and knew of a truth that I came forth from thee, and they believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for those whom thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all things that are mine are thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And I am no more in the world. And these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep them in thy name, which thou hast given me, that they may be one, even as we are. While I was with them, I kept them in thy name, which thou hast given me, and I guarded them, and not one of them perished, but the son of perdition, that the scriptures might be fulfilled. But now I come to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy made full in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them from the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Thy word is truth. As thou didst send me into the world, even so sent I them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they themselves also may be sanctified in truth. Neither for these only do I pray, but for them also that believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, even as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be in us, that the world may believe that thou didst send me. And the glory which thou hast given me, I have given unto them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be perfected into one, and that the world may know that thou didst send me, and lovest them, even as thou lovest me. Father, I desire that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world knew thee not, but I knew thee, and these knew that thou didst send me. And I made known unto them thy name, and will make it known, that the love wherewith thou lovest me may be in them, and I in them. Amen and amen. That has a lot of stuff in it. That's a good prayer. That's a good one to study too. Has anybody got any comments? Yeah, Pat.
Just one comment that I thought it was interesting that Jesus, in that prayer, he said, I have glorified thee on the earth, having accomplished the work that thou hast given me to do. And he said that, obviously prayed that, before he went to the cross. And the cross was the culmination of, you know, he said that that was his whole purpose for coming to the world, was the cross. But yet, here he says that he glorified the Father on the earth, having accomplished the work which thou hast given me to do. I don't know, just it stuck out at me. I don't know if I had a question about it, or it's just, it just kind of stuck out at me. Thought I would toss it out.
Yeah, Jeannie.
I've thought about that too, Pat, because it doesn't seem, you know, like he had accomplished everything. But I think part of it was he was speaking faith, and part of it was he came here to show man who the Father was. He came here in a representation of who the Father is, and he did everything that he was commanded of his Father to do, because he said, I only do those things I see my Father do, and I only speak those things I hear my Father speak. And he was the witness, and he was fulfilling prophecy, and he humbled himself, emptied himself, and was obedient to everything God was telling his Father was telling him to do. He was setting the example for us. But I think part of that was that he was speaking faith, that he has accomplished everything, that he was glorifying his Father by what he had already had done. And I don't know, there's that's mostly what I kind of was meditating on that too, and thinking is like, well, he did everything he was supposed to do, but yet it was the Father who, you know, allowed him to do that. It was the Father who gave him the strength and the ability to teach him. You know, he learned obedience by the things he suffered. He, you know, I think he suffered through all the hostility of the people he came to save, you know. Anyhow, that's kind of what I was thinking about with that verse.
Go ahead, Rhea.
Yeah, I think I agree with what Julie said. I think it's Jesus calling the things that are not as though they were. It was done. It was all set in motion. It was all, even on the cross, when he was on the cross and he said, it is finished. It was still, he still only then overcome death thereafter. And 3 days later, he could have then said, it's finished again, right? It was still not done. I just love that. I think that's how the Lord, God knew that John would have to write this in the past tense as well. So Jesus had to speak it that way, so that when we read it, it's, oh, hey, I've already accomplished this. It's already done. Yeah, not some strange tenses and things like that. It's all been accomplished. Even at that point, because he knew that there's nothing that was going to change the path that he was on. He was going to achieve what he set out to achieve. So in that sense, it's like when Usain Bolt arrived at that starting line of when he ran those Olympic 100 meters, he knew it was already done. Like, that's why he was all dancing around and being all almost, you know, having fun, because he knew he put all the training and everything was already done. He just had to just run the race and was just do that last 100 meters basically, which was the whole thing was still coming. That whole 100 meters was everything. It was still coming, but it was done. And I think that's the same way where Jesus just knew that nothing can change. Nothing can come get in between him and what he was still had to do on the cross, still had to go through. He was not worried, fearful, anxious about that at all. And even just before he died, where he was actually going to go then fight the battle, he said it is finished. And then went through 3 days and then overcome death at the end of those 3 days. But he knew even before he died that it's done.
Yeah. Can you imagine the confidence and trust he had in the Father? Golly, we got to have that same trust. That is awesome. If you go over to, here's something else that's really amazing. I think John is the only one in the gospel that says this. This is in 18, go to the next chapter. This is when Judas came up and he brought the soldiers with him. He said, in 4, said, Jesus, therefore, knowing all the things that were coming upon him, went forth and saith unto them, whom seek ye? They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Now check this out. This is where I was getting to. Jesus saith unto them, I am. I don't think he said he. I think he said, I am. When therefore he said unto them, I am, they went backward and fell to the ground. The power of God was on him at that time. Again, therefore, he asked them, whom seek ye? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus answered, I told you that I am. If therefore you seek me, let these go their way. But the power of God was on him at the time. And in that verse 4, I think y'all are right. I think that the Lord knew he still had some more to go. Matter of fact, Rian, that last 100 meters or yards or whatever you said, forgive me, I forget what you said, but that last 100 yards was the hardest part of the race. And all he did was keep his mouth closed. He never came against him. He knew that he had to go to the cross, and he knew he was going to be killed, but he knew he was going to be resurrected. And that's the same attitude and conviction that we have to have, that God wants us to have. It makes no difference if you're going to be martyred or not. This thought came to me the other day, that I had rather die than sin against God. And when we get to that point, you know, we get to that point, it's going to be, you're going to be a powerful man or woman of God. What was it? What verse? Where is that verse that says that? Have you? Oh gosh, I'll think of it here in a minute. One about not sinning unto death. Y'all remember that verse? Similar to that. Someone, somebody. I bet you Greg fixing to find it. Yeah. All right, anybody else got something they'd like to comment on or talk about? Yes, Rhea or Claire?
Something that is so, it's really touching my heart, and it does every time I look at prayer and what it means to pray and what we pray for and how to pray is just the language. Like if we just look at John 17, this is spoken by the first begotten of all creation. This is the one who's beat Satan. This is it, right? Like this is the one we strive to be, and indeed the one who is in each of us. And he doesn't go to town in violence, and he is so controlled and measured and loving in every word. And it just reaches into me, because our words, that is what we use. Yes, we pray in the Holy Spirit and we can't understand, but when we use our chosen language to pray, our chosen human language to pray, those words are so important, and they needn't be a self-righteous kindness, and they needn't be anything that goes too far off what Jesus would have said when he was talking to demons or when he was commanding things, or I don't know. I just feel like there's that discernment and that controlled, measured diction and use of language that is so precious. And the Lord, our Father, values that, because Jesus didn't, you know, scream around like a headless chicken at that time. And, you know, when the people kept on falling asleep, he didn't go and rebuke them continuously, you know, his favorite disciples or his most loved disciples. He didn't rebuke them and cast out the sleepy demon out of them. And, you know, he was just so loving and understood what was required from him. And it's, I don't know.
That's because of understanding true authority. If you imagine two kings, one who is flabbergasted, out of control, screaming and shouting at everybody, versus one who just points and stuff gets done. The one knows his authority. The other one is not really understanding that he's the king and he doesn't have to scream and shout. He can get what he wants by just pointing and saying. And that's because he knew the authority that he had.
He did know that. He told who was it? The king, was it? No, what was the king's name? Herod? He told Herod, he said, when Herod told him, don't you know that I can crucify you or not? He said, you can't do nothing if my Father tells you. You can do it. He knew his authority. And you can't do nothing, big boy. He didn't say it like that. He was a lot more diplomatic than I was or would have been. You ain't gonna do nothing, big boy, unless Daddy says you can do it. I'm just gonna tell you. No, he just said, you can't do anything. That's my Father in heaven, that's you. Go ahead, Isaac. That's so cool. I'm glad y'all brought that out, because he was such a cool guy. Go ahead, Isaac.
Amen. Yeah, he sure was. Is. Sure is. I tell you, I love just, you know, the rebuttals and stuff, and just how the Holy Spirit, you know, and was with him, and how the things he said. It's so awesome. Anyways, you mentioned, Michael, about Jesus when they came over to him, and he said, you know, I am. Because after the he right there is added, I believe, and it says they went backwards and fell to the ground. Well, I asked the Lord about that, because I was like, well, why did they fall backwards? You know, what was that to mean? And I sat there and I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, show me what you want to show me out of that. And obviously the power of God, that's for sure. And, you know, one day I was reading Isaiah, and, you know, I always say, Father, give me my daily bread. And he does it, man. And Isaiah 1, chapter 4, this is what he gave me. Oh, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that deal corruptly. They have forsaken Jehovah, for they have despised the Holy One of Israel. They are estranged and gone backwards. That's what happened. They were evil, corrupt, estranged, and they were gone backwards because they despised the Holy One of Israel. Show me that. And I'm telling you, I just believe with all my heart, that's part of it. They physically yep. went backwards, not only spiritually. But...
Amen. Yep, I'm glad you brought that up. That was Isaiah what?
Sorry, Isaiah chapter 1, verse 4.
Oh, go ahead, Andrew. Thank you, Adam.
Yeah, you see, usually when you showed reverence to someone, even any of the prophets of old or Mary and Miriam, you know, she was at the feet of Jesus, you know. You prostrate before the Lord, you know. They would come before Jesus and bow before him, you know. They wouldn't fall backwards. So that's what I saw there too. They would bow forward toward the Lord, the prophets, whenever they met up with the Lord or came in the presence of the Lord.
Amen. Yep, that's it, Greg. Thank you. John 19:10. Yeah, it's Hebrews 12:4. You have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Thank you, Anna. Yeah, go ahead, Rihanna, Claire. What do you think, Yari?
I've been thinking about something recently, and I think it fits in very nicely with this. And we've quoted this verse before, and I'll post it in there. It's Matthew 11 verse 12, and it says, where Jesus was saying, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and men of violence take it by force. And I've heard us talk about that it can be referred to the promised land and our bodies and casting our demons and things like that. But I was wondering if we can look at that. You know, it's in the same vein of praying and how should we pray and with what authority we pray and what words do we use. Does that, are we, or am I misinterpreting that verse what is it even talking about? Is it even talking about how we pray or how we come against the enemy, or is it talking about something completely different?
Well, as you know, the Word of God can be peeled back layer after layer after layer. But my understanding of that is this. I heard, I forget who it was now, but talking about praying, let's talk about healing. If you're talking about healing, if you came in to your house and somebody was beating on Claire or one of your children, you know, your first instinct is to get them off of it. You know, you're going to get mad. You're going to be real quick to come against that. And that's the way we ought to be on our prayers. When the devil is involved, you got to get mad at him, because he is nothing but, he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That enemy does. Yeah, Greg's got his ball bat out. Well, we need our spiritual ball bat to go after him. Get mad at him. Get so mad at the devil that you're not going to let up until he's gone. Endure until he's gone. Endure in your faith until he's gone. That part there is what I understand. It's talking about, I'm sure there's probably more, but that's my understanding.
Yeah.
Anybody else got something they'd like to add? Go for it.
The bit that didn't sit well with me is that men of violence take it by force. And if we are saying that we should take something by force, does that make us men of violence? And, you know, what does that mean? Or is that, if I think back of Joshua, that they were men of violence, right? They took those the promised land by violence, but also not really. Many of those battles were fought without any violence at all. They just went with their pitchers and torches and blew trumpets, and or just stood around them, and people just fought themselves. The men of violence kind of fought themselves. That's what I was.
Well, think of it this way: the Lord took away all the devil's armor, didn't he? He took away all his armor. So he's standing out there naked. All he's got in him is deception. That's all he's got. He's got nothing but deception. But we have God Almighty behind us, who is the authority over all the power of the enemy. And when we get that part in us, we understand that we're violent against the devil. The devil don't like us to understand that we have that authority, that he doesn't have any. He wants you to think he's this great big devil sitting out there. He's big boy. He's the man of the century here, you know, when in fact he's nothing but a little bitty nothing. When we're in Christ, we have Christ in us. We have God the Father. We have the Holy Spirit. Glory to God, we have all the power we need. And when we figure that out, we'll walk up, throw our hands in the midst of Ebola or whatever it is and command it to go, and bless God, it'll sit there and die right there in your hand when you touch it, just like Lake did. And I believe that with all my heart. We're walking into that time right now. These people right here, you're looking at on this thing right here, and people that are listening are going to be doing the same thing, because they know their authority in Christ, and they are men of violence that take it by force. I remember late that guy that was praying for that bubonic plague to leave South Africa. He was out there praying. He said, if I could just get some help, John, we can get this thing. We'll have the victory. And said he went to praying and said, he knew that he had the victory after they started praying. After a while, said he jumped up, but the other guy had already started running toward the enemy. He saw him. I saw the demons out there, a whole horde of them, and they took off. That's the authority we got. Amen. Yeah, go ahead, Rhiannon. You got something on the same thing?
I have something that happened physically that I think it helps me remind, or the Lord put it in my life to remind me what that authority looks like. When, way back, like, I don't know how many years ago, maybe 8 years now, we had an intruder come into our house in the middle of the night. And I heard a noise and thought it was something. And when I went to go look, it was this intruder. And all I did, I remember, like, the Lord obviously was his Holy Spirit was very, very strong, and we were very new in the Lord. So I think I don't know, but we were very blessed, because I knew this was a vessel of dishonor. And all I did was I said, get out of my house in the name of Jesus. And whatever that wouldn't, like, I think there's enough evidence to show that that doesn't normally work in South Africa. But what I do want to say is that this intruder, he bent down, bowed, said sorry, and left. This is not in the spiritual. This happened in the physical. Like, the man bent down, put his hands together, said he's sorry, and left. And I didn't have to get violent physically or even with my words. Like, I just had to say the name. And amen. Then what happened 3 days later, there was probably like a little ring happening in our neighborhood, because about 3 days later, a man that we knew who was doing swimming lessons with Rian, well, I shouldn't say lessons, maybe training with Rian, was these people came in, this intruder came into his house, and this man ran to get his gun.
Ran backwards
to get his gun. And these guys pulled out a gun and shot him. Now that's what you, oh man, I don't want to say anything, but for me, the Lord just revealed to me, like, if you're going to run for the arm of the flesh and you're going to try and be a man of violence, like, that's what's going to happen. Now, we know that in the physical, but I'm saying that applies, I think, in the spiritual as well. Like, we shouldn't, mm-hmm. we shouldn't be speaking death, right? Like, we should be speaking life, and even in commanding and rebuking, that is, and knowing what our authority is, like, that is a tall thing and a hard thing, but it showed, that physical thing for me in my life showed me how powerful Jesus is and how powerful agreeing with what Jesus says. And I knew in that moment that it was a trial. I knew in that moment that this was a vessel of honor. And I knew in that moment that the voice that came out of my larynx was not mine. It was Christ in me, as, you know, as a,
but I can witness to that, because I was standing, I was just kind of too late. Like, Claire went in first and she looked around the corner to see this guy in the kitchen. And I was standing in the corridor and I was watching Claire as she was shouting. And this came out as a shout. And I thought, who is that? Because it was a thundering voice that came out of Claire that was not her voice. It was like the loudest, like, scream, but not a scream like a woman would scream. Like, if Claire were to scream, it wouldn't look, it was a, like, deep in the belly, this voice that came out that said, get out of the house in the name of Jesus. Like, it went, it was, I get goosebumps thinking about it, because I would also be like, sorry, and ran away. Even I was standing there going, whoa, what is happening? And then I ran around the corner and I saw this man just bolt. All he had was our car keys, and just bolted and jumped over over this massive wall fence, was gone. And I just knew that that was not Claire's voice, but it was a scary voice. It was huge. It was like a great shout, I think, like what the Bible talks about.
But what I'm trying to say is that it wasn't me. Like, no, I didn't have to get riled up. I didn't have to find this anger in me. I didn't have to do any of that. Like, the Lord provided all of that in me. I just had to stand on the word of the Lord, and I just had to use his name. And what I mean about this doesn't work in South Africa. It clearly works in South Africa, because we've got John Lake, we've got my testimony. There's thousands of testimonies like this, not only in South Africa, just all over the world. But I'm saying, statistically, if that happens, and we don't look at statistics, I'm saying it's...
Yeah, what you mean is, if you resist, normally in South Africa, if you resist in the physical, it doesn't
end well.
Very well.
Whereas, like,
you should not be resisting in the physical. Just go, take my stuff, go.
And here's the thing, right? Like, I then, once I realized what had happened, like, I was in shock, and I vomited, as most South Africans do in these things. We've talked about vomit a lot on this this fellowship. But I remember, like, phoning my parents and confessing it, and they could not receive it. Like, and his parents could not receive it. They kept on saying, but this could have happened. And then they listed all the things that is normal in the world of South Africa. And I just kept on saying, but that's not what happened. Like, we have God on our side. Jesus fights for us. And so all I'm saying is that we don't have to, our imaginations are there for a reason, and we have to use them for good. And we have to have a Jesus imagination when we're doing these things.
Did y'all listen to the broadcast? You hear David's testimony? He had a little credit up there, didn't he? That's what we call a little credit with the Lord. We pray every time we leave the mountain here that the angels would stand around about it and guard it, keep all the nefarious people out of here. And he does it. And I don't know what happened to the guy, but it doesn't make any difference. God handled it. And like Claire said, we didn't do anything other than we just prayed protection on this mountain. And you're right. When I'm talking about violent, I'm talking about you get authority violent. You know what I'm saying? You just know. Claire knew. She knew that if she voiced the name of Jesus, that's the name above all names. They got to go. They're going to bow down and bow right out of there, aren't they? Oh, boy, I done stepped off in the wrong place. Glory to God, I got to get out of here. Fasten it. Yeah, Missy. Wait a minute. Let me get Dave. Dave's been over here waiting patiently.
Oh, yeah.
Hang on, Missy.
You know, with Claire's sharing.
Missy, hang on just a minute. Let me get David. He's been waiting for a long time. Go ahead, Dave.
The passage that we're talking about goes, of course, it has two paths, right? So you have the body of the Lord, the saved, have always suffered violence. And they've always suffered violence from those that want to take the kingdom away from them, or they're jealous and they're angry. And it's been since the time of Cain, we've seen this violence come out, and it came against Abel. We've seen it come out against God's people with Pharaoh. We see it come out with David when he had to fight with Saul, and he was trying to keep from having a go in a confrontation with him. We see it with Jesus and the Pharisees. So we do have a kingdom of God that suffers violence from the violent people. And they're always trying to take that kingdom by force from God's people. And they want to wrestle it away. I don't know what they think they're wrestling away. It's God's kingdom. But they're always trying to wrestle it away from you. And they fight against you physically. And they always kill the prophets. They killed Jesus. Cain killed Abel. So we have that always going on all the way through the scripture. Our job is not to be the violent one. Our job is to fight it like Claire and Rhianne are talking about. And Michael, is our job as a spiritual warfare one, and take our kingdom from the strong man, because the strong man's been bound. And we do that through the authority Jesus Christ has given us. We know that. So I confirm that with what Michael and Rhianne are saying about how we take that kingdom back. But it's not, we can't be physical confrontation. We definitely do our battle with the Lord, and he's the one that fights for us. But we have to get in that mind frame, like Claire is talking, and Michael's, that we're going to fight it on the Lord's terms, the way he's laid it out for us. Jesus didn't lift up his hand to fight. And then even when I think it was John cut the ear off that the soldier, the Pharisee's guard, Jesus healed his ear right there. He said, no. He said, basically, this is not how my kingdom is going to be won, not with this kind of violence. So that's all I wanted to say.
Okay, Missy, go ahead, girl.
Well, Claire, when you said about, get out of my house in the name of Jesus, and he just bowed and said, sorry. You know, he was bound to Jesus. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, is what came to me, you know. So it was Jesus and you, as you pointed out, that that's just the first thing that came to me was that.
Amen. Go ahead, Claire or Rhea.
I'm sorry for talking so much. So I want to kind of get it right in my head. So I agree with what Dave then said, is, and I'm going to summarize it so I can understand it, but I still have one question. So we got to, if I look at that definition that Greg put in there, yes, we have to take that kingdom, right? You have to go and grab it, is basically what it's saying. You have to go and pluck it up, take it away. Use the sword of the spirit, like that's what we have to go and do, and the inner authority that we were talking about. And also, secondly, it's not in physical violence ever. Like, we can never say that it'll, I mean, that we can all agree. So it's not physical violence. So it is a spiritual taking then by force. Sorry, Julie posted that, yes. so such a gentleman, Greg. So we take that, we don't take it by physical force, but so our fight is against, not against flesh and blood, it's against powers and principalities. So when I am coming against, or we are coming against demons then in the in this authority, and then we say, well, we want to take this by force or by violence, I still want to know what is our boundaries in that. Like, what is in the way we speak, or what are we allowed to do then violently in that sense, in the spiritual?
All you have to do is speak the name of Jesus. You know, it's just like one night I woke up. I had two tall demons, looked like hairless men, translucent with blue veins, blue, like navy blue, blood going through their veins. They're twins. I woke up and I looked up at them and I said, in the name, I didn't hardly get it out of my mouth before they was gone. They were standing over me looking at it, and they do this. They were talking to one another, doing it. I said, you get out of here in the name of Jesus. When I said name of Jesus, they were gone. I was getting, I was mad that they even tried to come in here, because I've got Barry right outside the door there, and Jerry's on the other side, and I got Sam down there at the water fountain, I mean the water bucket. Shemuel, the same thing as Samuel. I call him Sam. And this is Jeriel over here. I call him Jerry. And this is Baruch, and I call him Barry. So these are angels. And they're not supposed to come in my room, these demons. But they show up every night and to test me, I'm sure. Just like Claire and Rion, that man, he didn't, you know, he was just following that demon. That demon was telling him, you can go in there and get what you want, man. Till God showed up. When God showed up, he had to go. And that's who we got to think we are, you know, because it is God that's coming out of her mouth, like Rion heard her say, you know. Get out of here in the name of Jesus. Thundered. That's awesome. That's an awesome testimony. That's why when these apostate churches, they say, well, you've got to have a gun in your house in case people come in there after you, you know? Well, I do. I've got a spiritual Holy Ghost cannon that I use. Bless God. That's what I got. What you going to do? I said, I ain't going to do nothing but speak the name of Jesus. And if I speak the name of Jesus, they can't do anything. They're bound up. You bind them. What are you going to do if you go and walk into your house and this guy's beating on your wife? I said, ain't going to happen. Because I've already prayed protection upon my family. And when you pray protection upon your family, guess what? They got to get through them angels. How many of you know that one angel killed 185,000 people? We just have to get that who we are in Christ, you know.
Michael, I love what you just said about the angels, because they are like, we are a little lower than the angels right now, but we're going to be, we are working towards being sons of God. So I love, they are the ones that do all of that. We just, by speaking the word, they go and do whatever that looks like, whatever killing. I mean, how did the angel do it? Did he decapitate them? Did he, you know, just put his sword through their hearts? Like, we don't know. We don't care. We don't have to say those things. We just have to speak the word. I love that.
Yeah. Amen. All right. Anyone else? We're going to see so much stuff like what Claire and Rion was talking about earlier, that testimony they gave. We're going to see a lot more of that coming up. You know, the Lord told us, Jesus told us himself. He said, the things that you've seen me do, you're going to do greater things you're going to do. I like that, man. Glory to God, I like that. I tell you what, we're going to see him. We're going to see him real quick. Yeah, Joe. We're fixing to see him pretty quick here. Watch what I tell you. Joe, go ahead.
Yeah. I was speaking about that violence, but I agree with everybody, but I was just thinking of adding something as violence is standing on a promise. Don't negotiate. Just stand on a promise and leave nothing for other people about this is what it is, and that's it, leave it, and then you take it by force and then agree or not agree. I lost my word. I'll think about it. I lost my word, but I want to say. Not a, sorry.
Go ahead, Claire.
I just wanted to say maybe the word that Joe was looking for was negotiate with them.
Yeah, that's it. Sorry.
and enter into a compromise. Like, oh, three of you can go, but one can stay. Like, no, we don't do that. We don't compromise with anything. Yeah. They all leave at the word.
We used to have a saying when we were in South Africa, which we won't use anymore, but and I joke about it sometimes. It says, if violence doesn't work, use more.
Yeah. That used to be the way we thought, wasn't it? Yeah, if our gun's bigger than your gun, come on, big boy, try it. You know, make my day.
Thanks, Claire.
Oh, man. Okay, well, I guess we're about out of time. Has anybody got anything we need to pray for before we go? I'm going to pray. Can I pray? Father, I just thank you, Lord, for these wonderful people and the things that you brought out tonight, each one of us, Lord. It's just awesome. And I ask and I pray for everybody in this outreach here, Outreach Fellowship, and the people that are going to be listening to it, that you would put in them a trust in their heart to believe that they have power, that you're going to back them up when they declare and decree something in the name of Jesus for protection, for healing, for deliverance, for salvation, all of those things, Lord. And I thank you for doing that in each and every one of us, Lord, to know that we have the living God backing us up. And all that we have to do is just speak the name. And they have to bow the knee and hope that they get out of the presence of it. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. And I just ask and I pray, Father, that you fill each and every one of us. I put it in our hearts to just get up in the morning, jump out of bed and say, glory to God, he is awesome. And I just love you, Lord. And I ask that you fill me with your Holy Spirit so that I can be led today by your Holy Spirit. And I praise you, Father, for doing that for all of us, because we're coming into a time where we're going to need to be led by you, Lord, every step. And I ask, Lord, that you place it in our hearts to practice that every day. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen and amen. All right, Nick, what you got, brother?
I just wanted to ask for prayer so I can give a testimony to the doctors when I go on Monday.
All right. Lord, we're just placing evangelism heart on Nick right now, that the anointing, that you give him the wisdom and the words to say to that doctor, said, I don't have to be here. I'm just coming so I can talk to you about my Lord, my God. And I thank you for doing that for Nick. And he's going to have a wonderful testimony come Tuesday night. In Jesus' name, we declare and decree it in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for doing that for our brother Nick. Amen, Nick. Amen. Go for it, brother.
Yep.
Amen. Amen. All right. Y'all be blessed, you hear?